Father, thank you for your love this morning. Thank you for your today. Brothers and sisters, thanks. Follow you today and always. Thanks for the deeds that we mentioned.
Spoke offensively with his lips. They did not destroy the nations the
Lord set to destroy, but mingled with the nations and learned their works, and they served their graven images, and this became a snare for them. They also sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the graven images of Canaan. So the land was polluted with their blood. It was also defiled by their works. Thus they acted unfaithfully in their ways of living. And the Lord was very angry with his people, and he abhorred his inheritance. Then he delivered them into the hands of the nations, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also afflicted them, and they were humbled under their hands. He delivered them many times, but they rebelled against him with their counsel, and were humbled by their transgressions. And he saw them in their afflictions. He listened to their supplications, and he remembered his covenant, and felt regret according to the multitude of his mercy. So he aroused compassion for them among all who made them captives. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from the nations, so we may give thanks to your holy name and boast in your praise. Bless the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people shall say, Amen, Amen. Well, there's a lot of lessons in this chapter. I'm just going to pick a few of them to look at. But give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Who shall tell the mighty deeds of the Lord, and who shall make all his praises heard? That's our job. That's what our lives and our lips are to tell the mighty deeds of the Lord, and shall make all his praises heard. And I think about our singing and our praises and our rejoicing and our blessings as a people of God. And that's what that's about. That's what that's doing. And that's what not really our job, but our calling, our privilege that we have to do. Because our God is mercy. His mercy endures forever, and from everlasting to everlasting. So we have a lot to praise him for and be thankful for, and it's up to us to do that. And it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So Jesus said, if he shouldn't cry out, the rocks would cry out. And so, it's due him that we do that. Thinking about verses 16 and 17 and 18, the rebellion of Korah, David, and Byron, how that they rebelled against the Lord's anointing. And the rebellion, the spirit of rebellion, is when you give yourself to that, whether it's in your home or on a job, workplace, or in the church, that's all. The spirit of rebellion is of the devil. He was the first to do that. And those that do that are his children giving themselves to be followers of him. It's really very simple. It's not that hard to understand that. It's, and you know the story about how the ground opened up. God was going to destroy the people. And Moses said, when you destroy for one man what one person did, and he said, tell the people to get away from them. So they got away from them in the tents. They went and stood, those men went and stood in the tent, doors, wives and children. The ground opened up as soon as Moses got done speaking, he said, if this thing's of me, they'll die normal. But if it's not, they'll die uncommon death. And so, right after he had been speaking, the ground opened up and swallowed him up alive, and people fled away even more from him. And then the next day, fire went among them and burned up 14,700 men. Wasn't that the same day? Yeah. And then the next day, the very next day, the ones that were left rebelled and said, you killed the people of God. Well, Moses killed the people of God. And then God was ready to destroy them again. I'll do it right now. And he told Aaron to go because death was already coming in and already destroying it. And that's when 14,000 and some hundred died of that plague the next day. But Moses and Aaron stood asking God's mercy, and he listened to them, and people survived. But over and over this kind of thing happened, and it talks about the graven image. And then it says in verse 20, thus they changed their glory into the likeness of a calf of each grass. And I thought, okay, how did them making a calf change their own glory? Then I think about 1 Corinthians 11, it says that the man is created in the image of God. And that's why he's not covering his head. He's the glory of God. A man is the glory of God. And if we worship as God, an animal, then that's what image we're like. It's just what a person worships and what they make as something to be aspiring to is what they are. They're the same. That's why it calls these are brute beasts. Because they're living like that. They're living like animals. And so, whatever we're worshiping, we aspire to be like that. And we're made in the image of God. That's why if we worship something else, that is idolatry. That's because we were made like God. So we belong to Him. And then also it tells us, and that's why a woman is to cover her head, because she was made for man. And man was made in the image of God. I don't understand all that exactly, but it's pretty neat how that to change their glory was to do something else than worship God. So, let's remember that. If we want to be like God, I mean, like Jesus told us to, be perfect like our Father is in heaven, we'll be careful that we're not changing our glory, which is God, and making it something like an animal or anything else, money or whatever. Then the last few verses, that this is what's amazing to me, is that God, after all of these things, He remembered His covenant and felt regret according to the multitude of His mercy. So He aroused compassion for them among all who made them captives. And even the people that captured Israel and took them back, to Babylon and wherever. He always caused those kings eventually to pity them. To love them and even give them money and give them a way back to go and build their temple eventually is abundant. So, and then several different times that happened. Or similar things happened. And thinking about Joseph, he was favored by the leaders there. And it says, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from the nations, so we may give thanks to your holy name. Boast in your praise. Bless the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. All peace. Amen. Amen. I was thinking of gather us from the nations. And think of that today. When Jesus said that we're to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's the way it'll be when he returns. And the church is gathered together. Those who are truly his, following him now, will be gathered from among the nations. Will be brought together in one place with him without any evil among us, without anything to be here to dissuade us from following Jesus, doing his will. Now we'll be set up with the enemy that appeals all the time, one way or another. It won't quite be that way then, as it is now. Boast in your praise. Bless the Lord God of Israel, everlasting.
Last week's lesson.
We're supposed to get an example about how we could get led away from and quit thinking about Jesus. And I thought of when we could get too busy earning money and then not think about God because we're just too busy earning money and stuff and earning our jobs and we forget God.
I got we could start trusting in the government or that we were all okay and nothing could ever happen to us. But instead we should always be not be so faithful in the government, just be for God.
I have a good family, but I can't think I'm better than other people that don't have a good family.
Sometimes we get a boat and it's really fun, but it's not the funnest thing and we might get into being selfish and then wanting to go and then we'll forget about the Lord.
Could take the credit to ourselves in our gardens and brag about how we had planted the seeds and how we had taken care of the garden and then totally forget that it was Jesus and God that actually made it grow.
We might accidentally trust in our jobs and our money to keep us supplied with food and things and keep us safe, but we should instead trust in the Lord
to provide us.
About our cattle. I mean, we have a lot of cattle and stuff, and it's easy to get caught up in how good they're growing, and not many of them are dying, and just like, oh yeah, we're doing a good job taking care of them, but it's really God that's helping us take care of them and doing that.
It's easy for me to take for granted or trust in my health, but I need to remember that the Lord's the one that gives it to me. I was having several thoughts this morning. What the Bible says about anyway, I forgot the verses I had in my mind, but I was thinking about how blank spot.
What I thought about was in our work we can get carried away and just be more and more like the world and just forget about Jesus' teachings and just get carried away.
God gave us the ability to work and earn money, and we need to not trust in that money to I think that we're better than everyone else, but to just be thankful for it and not think it's all us, but remember that God helped us get it.
We could start trusting in our own strength and might and ability to do things, but God's the one that gave it to us and is the one that made us able to do everything we can.
I thought about the Bible. We could get all caught up in the little details of everything and get caught up in all the things, and then we wouldn't see what we need to do.
I thought once we could start trusting our friends more than trusting God.